And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Game Notes, your Utah Jazz podcast on the Athletic Podcast Network. I'm David Bohr, joined as I am every single week by Tony Jones. Up front, just want to apologize for the delay. We kind of had just some scheduling issues and, you know, end of the season stuff. Tony had a lot of writing to do and I'm stuck on a lot of other pods. And now we finally managed to get together, Tony, for a little bit of a playoff postmortem, I guess we can call it.
It could be a victory lap for you.
It's not a victory lap for me. Come on, man.
Listen, like for most of the second half of the season, you were continuously saying that the Jazz were first round out. And I was continuously saying, no, they're going to get out of the first round. You know, when they get the Phoenix or when they get the Golden State or Memphis, you know, that's when, you know, I foresee them running into issues. Now, I changed my tune a little bit down the stretch. If I know you remember, I changed my tune a little bit down the stretch towards Dallas, because I started to realize how much of a matchup issue Dallas would be for them. But I mean, you know, you were the one you said, hey, they're not playing well. Something's not right. They're looking like a first round exit.
I mean, there's just no resistance. There was no defensive resistance on this team. Zero. And when you get you give opposing teams, and especially Dallas with the way that they were carving them up, Jalen Brunson was insane. We'll get to that. But you give them that much runway where they're just unabated to the basket, and you've got one guy who has to continuously make play after play after play. And by the way, I thought Rudy was pretty good in the series mostly.
I thought Rudy was good defensively. I thought that his inability to punish the switch offensively lost the Jazz the series.
That's the thing, was the offensive end.
Because right now, if you're looking at Dallas and Phoenix, Dallas has no chance against DeAndre Ayton because he's just putting those guys in the basket. And that's how you punish switches. So, yeah, I mean,
Rudy was unable to do that, or you know, there was no scheme for it. But regardless, you know, I do think that there are issues on the defensive end. The lack of experimentation, Tony, right? Like, not only that, there was just not much competitive fire up front. Let's be honest about it, right? Like, how often you see a guy like, I'm sorry, man, I want to see you run through some screens every now and then and get called for a foul, right? You need to make it look like you're trying at least. I hate to compare players because comparison is the thief of joy. But look, Ja Morant is an awful, awful defender. He doesn't have it. He can't do it. And he at least is giving you effort. And I just think that Utah didn't get a lot of that up front. And you know, for whatever reason, and I know injuries are a part of the game and everybody was nursing injuries, especially down the stretch. And maybe that played into it, but you can't have that sort of effort output, regardless of whether, you know, you can put in 100% or not. You can't have a 40%, 30%, sometimes 0% output and expect to win games, Tony. It's just, that's not a thing. The NBA is too good. Everybody can dribble. Well,
you know what I saw for, you know, this series and for most of this, the second half of the season, I just saw a team that didn't play for each other. You know, they played really hard in game four to get the series to 2-2. They played okay in game one to steal that first game. I mean, but, you know, and you know, and they played hard in game six. you know, they played hard, but they, you know, they didn't play for each other. You know, they weren't connected. And you can tell teams that are playing for each other, like Phoenix. Those guys are playing for each other. Those guys, you know, every pass, you know, they're passing up good shots to get great shots. They're passing up great shots to get generational type shots. You know, Dallas did the same thing, you know, against the Jazz. And I think the biggest indictment for the Jazz for me right now isn't the actual series against Dallas. It's watching Dallas against Phoenix. That's the biggest indictment. Because Jalen Brunson was a $100 million guy against Utah, and he looks like he's borderline unplayable against Phoenix. And that's a real indictment on Utah. And, you know, Luka Doncic has, you know, really, you know, his statistics are great and he's played really good. Phoenix shut his water off in the second half of game two on Wednesday night. And, you know, and then Chris Paul just hunted him mercilessly. You know, I mean, I thought that the Jazz were going to have issues stopping Dallas. I cannot believe that they could not score on this Dallas team. And, you know, that was mind-boggling to me.
Well, and I think that's a good point, Tony, that you're bringing up, is that Utah, and, you know, we kind of talked about this a little bit, Utah didn't match up Hunt nearly enough for my taste, right? Like, I mean, it's just, what did they expect to get on the other end if they weren't going for, again, wear down Luka Doncic when he came back? He was coming back from a calf injury, Tony. With the load that Luka took on, I mean, again, talking about this Phoenix series, you look at the load that he's taking on offensively, right? So he's getting worn down, and then they're attacking him on the other end. So it's actually it's a double pronged attack. And you know, when you look back at the Utah strategy, it just didn't take advantage of that enough.
They didn't make him work nearly enough,
especially for a guy who was on one leg, theoretically. And he disrupted a little bit of what was so successful for them in those early games, right? Like, I mean, look, I think that Dallas just had the better player in the series and that mattered. And then they had a better scheme. And Utah just didn't have the juice, and especially the defense, man. Like, their offense totally did not show up, but their defensive approach was the same thing. And look, Donovan said it, same old shit.
I think the Jazz could have won that series had they played a good series offensively. Like, if they had played to the level that they've been playing the last two or three years, even with the way Dallas shot the ball, Utah still could have and maybe should have won the series. You know, and that's just my biggest surprise. I mean, you know, the watching the deep, watching him defend, watching him, you know, turn Jalen Brunson into an all NBA guy. You know, I mean, it's, you know, you look at it and it's like, okay, it's disappointing to watch, but, you know, this is kind of who they've been for 2 years, you know, but they were very much not who they've been offensively. They couldn't make a shot. They didn't run good offense for a lot of the time. You know, Rudy had Luka Doncic pinned on his back, couldn't score. Donovan didn't play well offensively at all. And, you know, he had his obvious struggles defensively. You know, Mike Conley couldn't really get separation off the dribble. He missed so many easy floaters in the lane. You know, the only guy to me that played really well in that series was Jordan Clarkson. And, you know, and you know, I thought Bojan played well overall, but I mean, he even still had his spots where, you know, he missed some really crucial shots that were, you know, wide open. And, you know, I'm not just talking about the series ender. You know, it was just really surprising how poorly they played offensively. And, you know, watching Phoenix, who the Jazz, you know, you know, maybe erroneously said to themselves, hey, we're on that level. We can be on that level. We can get to that level. You know, watching Phoenix right now and watching the Jazz and watching Golden State right now and watching Memphis right now and watching the Jazz, I mean, it, you know, the Jazz have a long way to go, and they need to have a good offseason.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Well, I guess that leads perfectly into our next topic, Tony. What happens next? And I want to start at the top and thinking about on the court. Quinn Snyder. We hear the rumblings around, you know, he's a hot commodity, but he's still under contract. Do you think he's sticking around? I mean, maybe don't give your opinion, but maybe what you feel after talking to people.
Well, what I feel from after talking to people is that he sticks around. And, you know, more importantly, I don't think the Jazz really thought any differently. Like, I don't think they even see that as a story at this point. You know, he's got a year on his contract. He's got a coaching option. And I mean, you know, I don't think, you know, I just don't see him leaving money on the table, that kind of money on the table. And, you know, so they're definitely not firing him. They definitely are happy with him. So, you know, I would expect, I mean, obviously things can change. But as of now, I would expect Quinn Snyder to be the head coach of the Jazz next year.
I mean, he also kind of has a good spot from a, I mean, I don't want to use the word power necessarily, but certainly has a voice that he may not have in other places. And I mean, the Lakers is a place that for sure. I mean, is Quinn Snyder going to go be a lower voice on the totem pole to Kurt Rambis? You know what I mean?
Right.
Like
right.
Just being realistic.
Right.
Doesn't make a lot of sense to me. You know, to me, there's smoke that people are generating, but I can't imagine there's any fire. The big question everybody's going to have, and you know, Tony, you're probably already even tired about this. Like, where do they go with the roster? I mean, it feels like this is kind of the end of this run in a lot of different respects. I think you've given it a fair shot.
Well, it is.
And a pivot makes sense, right?
Right. So, you know, from what I know, the Jazz do not want to rebuild. So don't expect a complete teardown. The Jazz are not tearing down their roster with the goal of winning 25 games next year. You know, so don't expect that. So, you know, at this point, I expect, you know, one of a few things to happen. Either the Jazz trade Rudy Gobert and, you know, try to, you know, get what they perceive as fair value in return and try to pivot that way, or the Jazz keep Rudy Gobert and keep Donovan Mitchell and, you know, really work around the ancillary parts of the roster, you know, work around the other spots in the starting lineup, work around, you know, some of the other spots in the rotation and try to pivot that way. I mean, listen, I don't think the Jazz have ruled out at all keeping Gobert and Mitchell, because I think in a small market like this, having two guys who, you know, whether you agree with this or not, or either all NBA or very close to all NBA level guys, that's, you know, who are both under contract for, you know, at least 3 more years, that's kind of hard to do. So, you know, I would expect the Jazz to
think long and hard before, you know, breaking, you know, that part up. But there is going to be significant change to the roster. I mean, that part is, I think structurally the Jazz are going to try to change the roster. I think they're going to try to get more defensive guys on the roster. I think they're going to try to get more athletic. I think they're going to try to get bigger. And I think they're going to try to get longer. So I would expect there to be some definite change coming, whether that change hits, you know, Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert or not.
I mean, Mike Conley is under contract next year and then has a player option for 23-24. You know, yeah, that's tough. I mean, Bojan is an expiring next year. That's a guy who likely, I mean, if they're going to be making moves, he's on the table. And I think, look, man, I think Rudy might have a surprising market one way or the other. And I don't necessarily mean that in a good way, right? And Tony, tell me if you feel what I'm saying here. All going to argue one way or the other, and no one's going to be right. It's going to be either way too much or way too little, right?
I agree with that. In terms of his market, I think his market is limited, but I think the market that he does have will be good.
Like a strong, right? Because it's teams that have assets and they're pushing to probably win a title, right?
I think there are teams like, you know, Rudy's market is limited. Let's put that out there. But the market that he does have, I think there's potential that teams would potentially pay handsomely for it. You know, I mean, you know, I don't have any intel on this, but let's say, just for the sake of argument, and there's no intel of this, let's say Charlotte, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, Charlotte Hornets, you know, there's, you know, they can't defend on the interior. Then, you know, they're Charmin soft on the interior. You know, this would be funny though, but let's, just for the sake of argument, I'm not reporting anything. Let's say Rudy for Gordon Hayward, PJ Tucker. I mean, I said PJ Tucker.
PJ Washington.
Yeah. And, you know, two or three first round picks. Mm-hmm. You know, both first round picks this year and a first round pick in the future.
Yeah.
And, you know, so the Jazz, you know, this would be such irony, because, you know, Gordon can't stay on the floor, but if he can stay on the floor, guess what? He helps the Jazz, because, you know, he's actually the kind of guy the Jazz need. And I think it would be the biggest irony ever, and it would be hilarious. I would be laughing as I wrote it. And then you get two first round picks. You can get young guys on the roster.
Which this team needs, man.
Which this team needs desperately. And, you know, and PJ Washington, you know, is probably from day one their best power forward on the roster. Right?
I mean, yeah, 100%. I mean, like, and also gives you a small ball five that can kind of do the job.
Gives you a true small ball five.
Yeah. I mean, I like that trade. And I mean, I like that trade for a minute.
Right. I mean, you know, you still have Bojan, you still have Mike, you can put Gordon Hayward in the starting lineup with Bojan around Donovan. That, you know, you, let's say, Mark Williams from Duke is available at 13 or 15. You take Mark Williams from Duke, boom, you have a rim running center again. I mean, there's things that the Jazz can do, you know. And for Charlotte, I mean, they've been in the play-in 2 years in a row. This is a team that wants to make the playoffs. Rudy will get them to the playoffs.
Oh, and instantly, right?
Instantly. Like,
it fixes so many of their problems. And in now a similar way, right? But potentially with more room to grow, because Miles Bridges is decent on the perimeter. And I think that they have, McDaniels is decent on the perimeter. I think they've got a little bit more room to grow on the defensive end, especially as it comes to perimeter defense than what we've seen in Utah, because Utah, we've already seen it for 4 years.
Right.
You give Rudy some effort out there,
and maybe it's not as bad in the playoff. Now, I don't think that's a championship team, but it's certainly a playoff team.
But it's certainly a playoff team, and it's certainly a team that's more. And, you know, I mean, Michael Jordan's cutting the checks. He wants to make the playoffs.
That's right.
He wants that playoff revenue.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't blame him. You know, I mean, so for me, it's an example. Like, if you put Rudy on the market, you know, the market's not going to be wide, but, you know, it could be not wide and plentiful, but it can be plentiful at the same time.
Yeah. Well, I think next week, Tony, we should take a look at some of the potential free agents and maybe dig into some of these trades that might be on the horizon. How you feel about that? I know it's early.
Let's do it.
Let's do a little off-season outlook.
Hey, that's what we do.
That's right. This has been Game Notes with David Fora and Tony Jones. We'll be back next week with another episode right here on the Athletic Podcast Network.